The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning, and welcome to those who are joining online from the comfort of your living room. And thank you, music team. I think they've ducked out, but thank you, music team. That was awesome this morning. I just feel so blessed even before I got up here. So that was great. For those that don't know us or don't know us well, my name is Tim Lithgow. My wife, Sharon, and I think we should be called old-timers by now. We first came here in 1985. I was a young Army helicopter trainee pilot, and my wife was 8 months and 3 weeks pregnant with our first child. We now have 3 granddaughters, and the eldest is 10. So maybe we're old. There you go. But Rangeville is a church. You've also journeyed with us. You prayed for us and supported us when we joined Wycliffe and went to Papua New Guinea in 1996. We have been blessed, and we are blessed because of you and your continued and faithful support for us, as have all the other mission partners and agencies and people that Rangeville supports. Now, you find those in that book that's been emailed to you. So let me express very deep and sincere thanks and appreciation for all of you and on behalf of the mission agencies. God is doing great things that you have been a partner to and partner with. So I'm really privileged this morning to be able to share on behalf of all these mission agencies. I'll just turn my laptop off. There you go. That'll work. Of what God has done through you and with you through these mission agencies. Let me start with this question here. What do red ants and seaweed have in common? What a question, yes. What they have in common is that in Wedao, one of the 800 language groups on the eastern tip of the mainland of Papua New Guinea, you eat them together. The seaweed, it's harvested from the ocean floor where it's bountiful. It's dried, which takes away the slime but doesn't really do much for the taste. The red ants, well, they live in soccer ball-sized nests in mango trees. A young boy with a long pole will knock one of these nests down where it hits the ground and explodes in a flurry of ants. He'll stuff it into a pot with an ill-fitting lid and race off down to the market to make a small fortune. So there in the marketplace with the pawpaws and pineapples and mangoes and all the other fresh tropical fruits there are is the stall selling red ants and seaweed. You pay your money, and the vendor gets a few leaves of the seaweed, thrusts it into the pot, and brings out a writhing mass of ants, which he gives you to eat. So how do you eat it? Well, obviously you bite it very quickly before they bite you. Many times it's not obvious how seemingly contradictory statements go together, like the beginning of this passage in Philippians. But let's explore this passage together and look at what happened to Paul. Paul's ministry certainly had times where the people, families and communities turned to the Lord. God used Paul to heal people from many diseases and even raise people from the dead. Paul had witnessed God casting out evil spirits and delivering people. So is Paul saying what happened to him was, I'm having mass rallies and thousands are turning to the Lord and they're Gentile this time? No, he's not saying that. Is he saying, I've opened Bible schools all over the world and hundreds of people are studying the word and growing in their faith? Well, he's not saying that either. Is he saying, I have personal relationship with kings and princes and whole kingdoms are turning to the Lord and ruling with righteousness and justice? That's the kind of thing you'd be wanting to hear from missionaries, wouldn't you? But that's not what he's saying. What really is Paul saying that happened to him? In Acts chapter 16, we read of what happened to Paul and Silas when they're in Philippi. They were proclaiming Jesus and they delivered a slave girl who was bound in bondage by an evil spirit. And what was their reward? Their clothes were stripped off and they were beaten with rods. And then they were thrown in prison. Not just in prison, but put in the inner prison and had their feet secured in stocks. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul gives a summary of the trials and sufferings that Paul endured because of preaching the gospel. He says, 5 times I received the 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. We know about one of them. I was pelted with stones. There were times, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I was in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, Gentiles, in danger in the country, in the city, at the sea, just about everywhere, in danger from false believers. He says, I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. So what happened to Paul includes a lot of really bad stuff. It includes a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of reason to be fearful for his life, for his health, and for his well-being. But then Paul says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Let's keep reading in this passage in Philippians and see why these things have advanced the gospel. Firstly, in verse 13, as a result, that's obvious imprisonment, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. We know from passages in Acts that significant prisoners weren't just chained, they were chained to guards. So just picture that. Here we have the world's greatest evangelist chained to 2 or 4 guards with shifts of about probably 12 hours. The captive Paul now has a captive audience of guards who can't get away from him for hours every day and every night. Paul has this opportunity to witness and share the gospel with them. Why would we then be surprised when he says, the whole palace guard knows I am here in chains for Christ? Secondly, in verse 14, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have been made confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. There are 2 significant things in this verse. Firstly, Paul is leading by example. Paul's in chains because of preaching the gospel, and this gives courage and confidence for others to proclaim the gospel without fear, as the passage says. Secondly, Paul's the world's greatest evangelist. It's a very human tendency, even with us in the church, that you leave the roles and tasks for the people who do it best. Those that preach, teach and evangelize, we'll leave it to them to do that task. But in this passage, the world's greatest evangelist is in prison. So if the gospel is going to be preached, then others have to step up to the plate and preach and teach. And this passage indicates they did. This is really just discipleship at work, sowing into others, growing them in their faith so they can then step up, and in this case, to teach and preach and evangelize. Thirdly, I haven't read the whole passage, there's the next remaining verses. How disappointing it must have been for Paul to have other Christians, other followers of Jesus, preach Christ out of envy, out of rivalry, out of ways of trying to seek to harm Paul because he's in chains. Just can you picture that? Others saying, Paul must have done something really wrong to be in prison. But we preach Christ the right way because we're not in prison. How discouraging would that be? But this gives Paul the opportunity to demonstrate the big picture kingdom values. It's about Christ and God's kingdom. It's not about Paul. It's not about what Paul specifically does. The important thing is that Christ is preached, whether it's from pure or false motives. Preaching Christ is what it's all about. And the 4th reason why this imprisonment has advanced the gospel isn't in the passage. It is the passage. Paul wrote most of his letters while he was in prison. So if Paul hadn't been in prison as long as he was, he probably wouldn't have written all those letters, and we would have a huge chunk of the New Testament not there. I mean, how important was that in the advancement of the gospel? We in Wycliffe have that privilege of continuing that aspect of advancing the gospel through helping many of the world's languages that don't yet have scripture to have it translated into them. There's still about 7,000 languages in the world, and there are still about 2,000 that do not yet have any scripture in them. Now that was 2,000 years ago. Let's turn our eyes to us and to our time now. What is happening to us? In the big picture, I think we're getting a little bit sick of hearing the C word, coronavirus or COVID-19. But it is and continues to be a significant bad thing that is happening worldwide. Health-wise, to date, the 37 million people have been infected with the virus and over 1,000 have lost their lives because of it. Health facilities in many countries are overwhelmed, unable to cope with the sick, and thousands, not millions, are dying. Hundreds of health professionals have contracted the virus themselves while they're caring for others and have become victims. Many of those are dying as well. Education has suffered, with most schools closing for a time, if not still being closed, because of it. UNESCO estimate that 1.5 billion students have been negatively impacted by this. Economically, countless millions have lost their jobs and livelihoods. Companies have gone broke or are about to. Many people are suffering and in great need. The global world seems to have reverted to a tribalism on a national scale, with all the closed borders restricting travel, sometimes even on a state level, like we're experiencing here in Australia. Right now, we need to keep praying for our friends, families and colleagues in Victoria who are still in lockdown. The world news continues to not look good, with second waves now impacting several nations, particularly Europe, over the last week. Nations that appeared to have it under control, but are now needing to or considering reinforcing lockdown measures. Or they're just living with people dying. How has this impacted global missions and the missions that Rainville support here in Australia? In a word, badly. Yes, things have been tough. Travel restrictions. Many missionaries are not where they do their mission work of Bible translation, evangelism, caring for the poor, which there will be many more of because of the pandemic. I mean, how do you do Bible translation when you can't get all the people together, even in the same country? How do you provide care? How do you evangelize, like YWAM's DTS ministry outreach, when you can't travel, particularly overseas? Secondly, isolation, not being able to get together. How do you function as a school chaplain or as a Christian university evangelism ministry when there's no students at school? How does Teen Challenge care for troubled young men when these very needy people can't travel and can't enroll in the facility? How does Eva's Place care for needy women when they can't just drop in? Mission awareness and promotion. Most home staff of mission agencies promote their organisation and their needs through events. Events like Easter conventions and church mission days. A lot of missions run fundraising events. But for the time that public gatherings were banned and home gatherings were minimised to 5 people, how do you do that? Well, along with Paul's encouragement to the Philippian church, what has happened? All this terribly bad stuff has actually served to advance the gospel. Let me highlight a few of the ways that it has. Firstly, looking at the big picture, prayer. Research from the University of Copenhagen revealed that there's been a worldwide 50% increase in Google searches for prayer, even in the highly secularized part of North Europe, which is much to the surprise of the researchers. People are searching for peace and healing, which the world in its chaos just cannot provide. Church. Good little quote there, might be able to read on the screen there. Satan saying, I closed all the churches, and God saying, on the contrary, there's a church in every house. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Additionally, just about every church that streams services that are open to the public have noticed a number of people, new people, who aren't Christians, logging in. These are people who probably wouldn't walk in the doors of a church, at least not yet. People are searching, and the gospel is available for them to hear and see. God is advancing the gospel in incredible ways. Looking more specifically to the global and local missions that Rangeville supports, training being available online. So much of how missions provide training was based on face-to-face meetings and workshops and seminars. And Wycliffe Australia was no exception. Two of the workshops that we provide for a church to help the church in its ministry of evangelism are Story of the Bible workshops and Encounter Culture. These have now been reformatted to online events, not with some difficulty, mind you, as the group interaction is quite difficult online. But with the first Story of the Bible online event that was run in July, there were participants from Victoria, which was in lockdown, from Western Australia, where there hadn't been enough participants to actually have a nuclear mass to make a workshop, and a participant each from New Zealand, South Korea, the US, and Canada. These last two were really committed because the joint sessions were there very early hours of the morning. This is the same for missions that provide additional training while people are overseas. In the Bible translation environment, these further face-to-face training opportunities were generally limited to the people with the time and the finances to be able to attend the centralised workshops. But now, with many more mother tongue translators have been able to benefit with the online training. YWAN comment that it's not just an issue of finance to be able to attend these training events, but also visa implications. Many of the keen host nationals are from rural backgrounds. They have enormous difficulty getting passports because they often don't have a birth certificate. And then they have the difficulties of getting to countries that need many letters of reference and guarantees. But all this becomes irrelevant when the training is online. These training opportunities are available to a much wider spread of the labourers in God's global mission service. This really is advancing the gospel. Gretel and Johnny also comment that many young children have been able to attend these international meetings for the first time. Similarly, the Bible Translation International Leadership has initiated international Zoom meetings that hundreds of Bible translators, both expat and host nationals, have been able to participate in. Not just the few country leaders that are normally able to get together. The ability to connect electronically has been possible for a while, yes, but with the necessity to do it means so much more is happening. Mel Morris is doing French language study in France, as we heard before. She's been able to have regular contact with her future colleagues who are still in Chad, UK, France, Australia and Mali. None of this would have been able to happen had it not been for COVID. Chaplains. They have the opportunity to be there to provide pastoral support to the teachers who have been struggling with providing the online learning experience. During the learn from home phase, Beck Schiefer was up at Crow's Nest, has also been able to help deliver materials for the students. And in doing so, she provides care for the whole family, not just for the students. This has also involved practical support and supplies of food and blankets for some of the many needy families. She also ended up being a mini postman, delivering notes and letters between the students who were missing each other. As the schools came back with only a few grades, there were fewer students, so the chaplains were able to provide much more dedicated care to the students. University ministries. With the walk-up evangelism unable to happen, many university Christian ministries accelerated their plans to have committed and dedicated evangelism to friends and contacts. These are the people that it wouldn't be abnormal to ring up and say hello or to create a Zoom chat with them, and with incredible results. The Vanderbilts say that more students came to the Lord in semester one of this year than last year. International students have been very badly impacted by the pandemic, and that has given the opportunity for the Christian groups to provide food and much practical support. It is no wonder that many foreign students are asking, why are you doing this? This is advancing the gospel. Eva's Place. They also saw the need to provide remote service delivery through technology. And guess what? They've been able to support women beyond the borders of Toowoomba to areas for people who wouldn't have been able to travel here. Time doesn't permit telling more stories of how God's advancing the gospel because of what's happening around us. But just like Paul said to the Philippian church, what has happened, all this bad stuff that has happened, has really served to advance the gospel. To draw this to a close, let me ask these questions of all of us. Yes, all of us have been impacted by what's going on around us, and some of it has been terrible. No one is belittling or dismissing that. But are you seeing, are you able to see, that God is advancing the gospel through you or around you? Maybe you are there, just like the many missions that Rainville supports. You can see that in spite of the difficulties and challenges around you, that God is using you to advance the gospel. If so, then praise the Lord, we rejoice with you. But maybe you're at the other end of that spectrum and you're struggling, just hanging on till we can get beyond this and get back to normal. That is understandable, and may God's grace be with you. May I encourage you to look higher to the kingdom perspective and to look for the things that God is doing to advance the gospel through these terrible circumstances. It doesn't belittle the challenges or the trials. Yes, they're there. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's tough. But God is using them to do great things. May I encourage you to let that soak into your mind, into your heart, and into your soul. So as we do at Rangeville, let's reflect on these two questions. What did God say to me today? Through this message, through the praise and worship, through the prayer time. Just pause for a few moments and consider this. And then secondly, what will I do with what I've heard today? Let's continue reflecting on that for a minute.
Concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.